outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday. It's July 30th.
Hello.
Good morning, Brigetta.
Good morning. I am sitting here still in so much pain.
Yeah.
For my escapades while being away.
Yeah. Well, we want to welcome everybody back to the show. We've been goofing off for a couple weeks, but we're back here and live, and we missed you guys.
Yeah.
So I missed you too. I feel like I haven't seen you in so long.
I know. It's been kind of crazy.
So you're all banged up. What happened?
I'm all banged up. So I went to Mexico. Thought it was like a cool idea to go down. Actually, my girlfriend has a condo there.
Oh, really? Where in Mexico?
In Rocky Point. So I was all nervous about going there. Like, I don't know. I haven't been to Mexico. I don't know how long. Like, Tijuana area. You know, I went a couple years ago. But, like, you don't want to go there anymore because of all the gang. Yeah. So she's like, no, I'm telling you. It's, like, you know, our beach. It's Arizona's beach. It's where we all go. It's not far. It's literally 3.5 hours from here. So I'm like, I don't know. She's like, there's this new highway that's put in. It'll be, like, nothing for you to get there. Like, it's no hassle zone. And it's true. I mean, I called the border, like, where I would go in, and they were like, it's fine. And, I mean, if you go to Nogales, you have your head chopped off.
Really?
If you go to Tijuana, you have some issues. But, yeah, it's called a hassle-free zone where the Arizona government actually made a deal with the state of whatever state it was, some Mexican state that's right there. And it's a no-hassle zone, meaning if you get pulled over, you don't have to pull over. And cops aren't allowed to bother you or pull you over unless you're being completely ridiculous.
What is it, like no man's land or something?
Kind of, like you're
nobody has jurisdiction over it?
Because they make so much money from the tourists or from Americans. And it's basically Arizona's beach. It's just like, you know, it's where everyone goes. It's the only place that they have besides going to San Diego.
Right.
So Rocky Point is what it's called. And my girlfriend has a condo there and was like, come. Wow. It's literally they have a five diamond restaurant in there. Wow. So I was like, okay, this could be cool. I've never been anywhere in Mexico except for Tijuana, like Baja, like surfing. And this was years ago when I had a weird experience. I was pulled over by Federale and it was like a complete nightmare, you know?
So this one was different.
Totally different.
Totally different trip.
And I wasn't sure what to expect because, again, it's Mexico. And I had higher expectations just because, you know, I've never been to Cabo or anything like that, so I don't really know what to compare that to, but I imagine it being amazing. But so I get down there, and yes, like the condo is in a huge hotel. So imagine like the Ritz-Carlton, you know?
Really?
And then, yeah. And then
that
there's,
must be a rich friend, huh, to have a fucking condo in Mexico.
They're the ones that had that show on Discovery Channel.
Oh, I see.
So
okay.
they're in real estate.
Oh.
The ones that have, oh, God, what's that show called that we had them on here for?
Property Wars.
Yes. Yeah. Have you been watching it, by the way?
No.
Okay. Anyway, totally fine. They're getting a lot of great reviews, which is awesome. But anyway, real estate, and, you know, he invested in this a long time ago and whatever. And there's a lot of condo owners that are there. So, like, you can, you know, come for the week. And you have to, like, weigh it out. Like, we were trying to weigh it out when we were there. We're like, well, I mean, how much did you pay for this? And their HOAs are, like, ridiculous there. And we checked into a lot of – I mean, it's a really nice place. Don't get me wrong. It's amazing. And the only downfall is there's only two restaurants in the whole place.
Really?
And yeah, and we were like,
like
what the hell?
In the hotel, you mean?
Yeah, they've got like, I don't know how many buildings, but like 10 buildings of like
tall
high-rises.
And don't they have restaurants out on the streets and stuff?
Other places, yes. Yeah. And here's the thing, like we got in and we went to the town, you know, and everyone's like, go to the town. They have a market. It's pretty cool. They've got restaurants there. We were like, okay. So we go to the town. I was a little scared. I get down there, I'm like, this is kind of weird. I mean, this is Mexico.
Like
this
in the movies.
Yeah, this is kind of shady. It's beautiful, but the town is dirty and just really weird. And And it's not, they don't have air conditioning in like any of the places. Maybe like two have them.
Really?
It's sweltering hot.
Wow.
It's like worse than Vegas because it's got the humidity. So it's, imagine Florida heat.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I mean, I grew up that way, so I understand. So it's hard to breathe.
There's... And you like hot too.
I do.
But this was too unbearable for you.
It was really unbearable. But there were no bugs, which was interesting. There were no mosquitoes.
Mm.
So that was interesting. So anyway, we get down there and...
They probably all infiltrate the border to come here too, all the mosquitoes. You
probably.
Know? So there's nothing left to
do. Yeah, exactly. Probably. And here's why, like, we're hilarious. They're like, get me out of here. So we're down there, we park. And I'm noticing that all the cars that are from down there, a lot don't have doors.
Really?
And I'm like, this is weird.
Cars without doors.
Yeah. And you ever notice when you're driving on the highway and, like, you know, there's a white car and then it's got, like, a black, you know, like, door.
Door or something.
Or something weird. And you're like, that's ghetto and weird.
Right.
Everyone has it there. And now I know why. Because they buy used cars. In fact, we passed by the used car lot.
Uh-huh.
No joke. They were selling cars like that.
Really?
And people don't care because,
like
they just
a Jeep,
need a car.
Huh?
And I'm like, this is freaking hilarious. Like, this is crazy.
Whoa.
So we get down there, we get approached by this guy right away. They're hassling you left and right. We walk around the fish market. It smells really bad.
Really?
And, yeah, and we were kind of like, we might puke. Like, it's that bad. And, yeah, it's really bad. And
Whoa.
We just don't know what to do. And I'm like, well, I mean, it is fresh fish. They have been sitting. Who knows how long you've been sitting out there all day long.
Right.
Given it's in, like, ice chests and whatnot. And everyone, all the Americans are like, everything's fine. Just don't drink the water.
Right.
Just have bottled water, everything. But everyone down there kind of knows that. And they use bottled water and they have, you know, packaged ice. But everyone said that we could, as Americans, buy a lot of their fish off the market. It's so fresh. That's how they make their money. The fishermen.
Right.
The fishermen kind of run the town.
Uh-huh.
But still, it smelled really weird. Like,
really?
I don't know. It was just creepy.
So
So we kind of freaked out and, like, you know, we ate at one of the bars that had air conditioning, which was owned by an American, which was a nice, it was a cool place. It was different. We kind of just got drunk and tried to alleviate the smell.
Yeah.
And then we went back to our hotel room and we're like, all right. And then the beach was amazing. The beach is like the Gulf, you know.
Really? It was nice.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal, you know, clear waters, bath water, pretty much. It's very warm. There's not really many waves.
Yeah.
What's crazy is the tide goes out like 500 feet. So, like, you can,
oh, really?
There's like tide pools in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And you can see, like, you can look for octopus or like cool things. Like,
wow.
Yeah. So, it's really neat. So,
cool for
sea horses.
And stuff,
yeah. And there's a reef and stuff. So, that's kind of cool.
Wow.
Yeah, so anyway, I rented like a big dune buggy, and we did it together. And we rode around and scoped out all the areas, and then we went to the other side of the area, and we realized, oh, this is where Americans hang out, because I mean, Americans were everywhere, but this is like the nice area. So we found like a nice area of, like, you know, super expensive homes, like they were really amazing on the water, and it was called Choyo Bay. And a nice restaurant that was like, I mean, it was so amazing. We went twice. We're like, this is just great. Italian restaurant called Mari Blue and a restaurant called Wrecked. It gets bumping. And there's also Americans that pretty much work there, which is interesting. Or they all speak English.
A lot of American tourists in there,
a
too.
A lot of American,
right?
tourists. Okay. Yeah, but a lot of Americans that moved down there, which is interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was very interesting. So
yeah.
We ran into people. We went to one of, like, the local beaches that were, like, a swimming hole, which was pretty cool. Kind of weird. I mean, no one speaks. I mean, I speak decent Spanish. I mean, I'm not amazing, but I can get by. So we went in, and I was like, everyone's staring at us because we clearly don't look like we belong here. This is our local swimming hole. It's weird. But I want to check it out. So I got a pina colada from their stand, you know, and it's like literally, you know, it's like $5 and they put it in a huge pineapple. They cut the pineapple in half and that's your booze.
Oh, really?
It's amazing.
Wow.
I was like, this is great. Like, very, like, yeah.
And you drink out of that, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
So then we scoped it out. We had a good time. So the next day we went and got actual four-wheelers.
Mm.
And I grew up on four-wheelers. I've done four-wheelers my whole life.
Yeah.
Now these four-wheelers were only 250 cc's. Which are really small, and you know, like, and they don't handle that well. Like, I'm used to very nice. I mean, I don't know how many CCs mine. Probably like 450 or something. Maybe 650. Who knows? The ones I have at home in Maryland. But they handle amazingly well because they're American. I mean, they're whatever. I mean, they're like still Suzuki and Yamaha they had there, but it was like they're rentals, you know, so they're run down. They pulled the pin on some of them, so you can't use it. I mean, it's just whatever. They're a little shisty, so they handle weird.
Yeah.
So I get on mine, and I'm like, oh, this really turns. Like, you do one small thing, and it's, like very unstable.
Really?
And I'm not used to that. Because I'm used to, like, going on dirt and sand and stuff back home. Like, you can go up dirt hills and rocks, and it's fine.
Yeah.
So I'm here, and we're riding around, and there's this one area. I mean, okay, given, I will say, I did stop and have a drink. Mm-hmm. We went to this place called JJ's, which is a very well-known place where a lot of Americans go. Mm-hmm. Really cool bar on the water. And, like, they have tables made of, like, stone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds good.
You know, I'm so sick of tacos. I don't want to eat them forever. Anyway, so sick of tacos. I'm like, damn it.
Is that all you ate?
That's all I ate. And I love Mexican food normally. Yeah.
So what happened? Why did you eat other stuff?
Because that's all they had.
Really?
I mean, well, we went to, like, an Italian place, which we found eventually. It was amazing, impeccable. Mari Blue was just phenomenal. Mm. But besides that, we didn't know any better. So we're like, this is the best tacos, right? We're in Mexico.
Right.
Yeah, it's all right. Anyway, so I get the four-wheeler. We go up. I'm, like, in the lead. And I go up this area that I want to check out. And, okay, given we've done the dunes and we've been around for all day long, I've had a few drinks in me, and I get brave. And I'm like, we're going up this mountain. And I get all the way up there. Now, given I struggled getting up there, the four-wheeler was having a hard time getting up the rocks.
Right.
I'm like, this is weird, because mine back home would be fine.
Right. Now, were there other ATVs there or
no.
dune buggies and stuff? So you were the only one there.
The only one.
Wow.
There's apparently no one goes here. I found that out later. So I don't know. I mean, it was a mountain. It looked pretty cool. Yeah. I wanted to explore. I went up it. I'm having trouble getting up it. And, like, so the person down below was like looking up, and he was like, you know, I don't know if I should attempt that. That looks really dangerous. You're being stupid, Bridgetta. Get down. No, it's fine. Wow. It's fine. He's like, no, I don't think that's a good idea.
Pretty steep incline, huh?
Yeah. And so I go up and I go over. I start to go over, and he's like, what are you doing? So then I'm like, come on, it's fine. I found a path. And I did. I will say, you go straight down. But I wasn't looking straight down. I was looking beyond. Like, look at the path over there. Once you get down, it's fine. And he gets up there, and he's having a hard time getting up there. And he's like, you're crazy. Mm. It's fine. So I go down. I go down, and I stop halfway, and I look up behind me to make sure he's, like, there and all right. And he goes, holy shit, you're on three wheels. And I'm like, and this is a four-wheeler. And I'm like, I'm fine. I look down, and then I'm like, I'm not so fine. I'm literally on going downhill on a mountain with the brakes on and rocking on the side of a mountain. And I'm like, oh, shit, this can go one of two ways. Maybe I can flip it back and lean to keep it stable going down, or I'm just going to have to dive off, or because I'm going to get – it's going to fall on top of me, and I'm going to get crushed.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. But it's like I didn't realize it. Maybe he shouldn't have said anything. I don't know. Whatever. So I'm like trying to – I'm like, fuck. So I'm trying to – like level it out, and as I'm going downhill, I'm like, okay, I'll be fine. I'll flip it back on and it'll be totally fine.
Right.
No, I'm totally unstable. I have no control of this thing on the side of the mountain. I'm going down. I'm sliding down. The rocks are coming out underneath the actual four-wheeler. Wow. And I'm like, I got to jump. I got to dive off because I'm literally.
You're like freaking out.
Yeah. Well, what's going to happen is it was rocking back and forth. Mm-hmm. It was going to tip no matter what.
Yeah.
Whether it tips on me and crushes me completely because it's a big, you know, four-wheeler with the engine still going and I'm cut up.
Yeah.
Or I just dive off and I just hope that it doesn't come on top of me in that way. So I made a decision and I jumped off one way, and the bike, you know, came tumbling. And I'm glad I did, because just as I did it, a huge rock was underneath and it flipped it up.
Mm.
And anyway, like as I was in air, rolled off, and I'm rolling off down the mountain, and the thing was tumbling after me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's looking from above like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a fucking goner.
Goner. Yeah. And I know we're going to have a guest soon calling in, so I'll stop.
No, he's going to actually come in. That's fine.
Oh, he's coming in. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I'll continue.
At 10:30.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Yeah, we have like a brief guest going to be here for a few minutes, but you got plenty of time.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, so meanwhile, I'm like, oh my God, this is really bad. So I know how to roll because I've you know, done motorcycles and quads, you know, forever. So I'm like, okay. So I'm rolling down, and I'm like kind of shocked in a way. And I look at the bike, and it lands at the bottom, and it starts spewing. And the wires are all off. The transmission fuel is like all over, and there's gas leaking clearly, and it's still on.
Wow.
And I'm like, shit, like, is this gonna blow up? Like, it's bad. It's smoking. It's like, so I run down, like, and I can barely get up at this point, but I'm like, I don't care. Like, you know, my adrenaline's going, and I switch it off and I pull the key.
Really?
And yeah, because I'm like, I don't, I gotta do it or it's gonna, you know, it could go. So I flip it like back over and I run, I get away from it, and I'm like, holy shit. And so he's like, oh my God, do you realize that almost rolled on top of you? Do you realize, like, you just missed it? Like, you, I can't, he's like, I almost watched you be crushed completely, and I can't do anything about it. And so, yeah, it was pretty crazy, and I am scraped up from it.
You're so fucking crazy, you know, all these adventures you're looking for, you know?
I know.
I mean, relax, like, you know, just slide back on the beach, you know?
I know. Sucks. So, needless to say, my leg, my right leg is really beat up, really bad. It was, I was bleeding everywhere. My entire right leg was bleeding from top to bottom. My hands were all cut up and bleeding. They're healing, thank God.
Wow.
And my stomach, and I guess I had a minor concussion slightly, I think, because I was very dizzy the whole day. I mean, I was dizzy for actually like 2 days. It was bad. I was like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I feel weird. This is like, it was, And then I hurt my left leg, gashed open, which is still healing. But my
Why would you drink if you went on something that you hadn't been done before in an area you hadn't been before? You just go drinking and you fucking drive on that thing.
It
was, of course,
one drink.
It's like,
But I mean, and that's the thing. Like, I grew up on four wheelers.
Right.
I've grown up doing it. So for me,
yeah, but
like,
not in that area though. You know,
not in that
saying?
Area. And then what happened was he had to, we had to get his bike down. I'm like, this is to get it back down where we came up was still bad. So that took a while. And then I hopped on with him. He brought me all the way back to them. And I'm like, I wrecked their bike.
What am I going to do?
Exactly. Needless to say, it only cost $40.
Uh-huh.
They were totally cool. Like, I mean, because that gets way further there. And their rentals, they're known for that. I'm sure they're insured. Who knows?
It probably happens to them all the time.
Probably. Yeah. But they did say when he, because I got dropped off, I had to go and get taken care of. So he went to deal with them while I went back and to deal with myself.
Right.
And I mean, salt water helped because salt water heals. So that was good.
Really?
Thank God. Yeah. So it was like doing that and ice packs and it was just crazy. So he went back to deal with them, and when he went back to show them, you know, where it was, and it's up and over, and they're like, no way, and they're, and he's like, yeah, it's up and over, and they're like, nobody goes there, that's never happened in 20 years of us having rentals. And he's like, what? Yeah, and they were like, we're going to call her the crazy girl at Choyo Bay.
Yeah.
So that's my nickname there.
That's your nickname.
Yeah. So that happened.
I bet you it never happened to them before.
Yeah,
people probably,
I don't know.
You know, get it all beat up and everything, but, you know.
Yeah, it was bad.
Wow.
So I was in a lot of pain. I'm still in pain. It hurts to sit.
Right.
And my stomach was really bad, too, because I got, like, I guess maybe my arms fell inside my stomach. I don't really know, but I was nauseous for a while. And
well, I'm so glad you're still in one piece and that you're okay.
Yeah, and then it's like crazy because then there's so many things that happen. So on the way there, the rocks hit my window and cracked the whole windshield.
Really?
It's across the whole
windshield. Where did the rocks come from?
A truck in front of us.
Oh, really?
It was like spewing out. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm like, this is not happening. Yeah. And then
so the whole front windshield was cracked.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the passenger side window fell one day. It just fell. And I'm like, what? And I that's happened to me before.
Yeah.
Recently with the driver's side. I guess like they only last for so many years, like the motor in it. Mm. And the motor stopped working. So they couldn't fix it in Mexico. You would think they would, but they're like, the parts come from America and to ship it and all that would be ridiculous, so we'll just put it up for you.
Yeah,
because I had no window, like I couldn't even park anywhere. I'm like, my car looks like a freaking Mexican car now.
Yeah,
like now I know
everybody
why
everybody can just help themselves to whatever's in there.
Exactly. So I got all paranoid. I parked against a wall inside the condo, like smack against it, so it was protected, no one could get in. And then we asked around and found a shop. Which, by the way, the shops there are, like, really shady. I mean, because they don't have shops.
Right.
It's, like, out of a house.
Really?
Yeah. And their houses, I will have you know, look like huts.
Yeah.
What we would call here and we would condemn and demolish, that's where they live.
That's where they live, huh?
And you just, I mean, it's so poor. It's just so sad and so crazy. And
I know. That's why it puzzles me why people want to go there. I don't know. You know, I mean, yes, you found some adventures there and stuff, but I have so many other places I would rather go to, you know, that are not like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I remember even when we went to Jamaica, like a long time ago, you have to drive through the poverty and everything, and you go, I'm going on a vacation. I don't want to see this.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But but when you go to Mexico, I guess you're prepared for it.
Right.
You know, what you're going to see, you know.
But
there's so much poverty there.
So much. And you're prepared for it, but you aren't, because you think Mexico and it's going to be really crappy and whatever. And you just don't. It doesn't hit you until you actually see. That's not an outhouse. That's not a shed. That's a house.
Wow.
Like, and there's no AC anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and they probably have like huge families living inside these small houses.
Yep. And it's normal to them.
Yeah.
Completely normal.
Wow.
Yeah. I know.
We've got it made here.
We really do. That's why we were like, we need to get back to the U.S.
Yeah.
We need to have like, yeah. So we came back. We went to Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Because you have to. You have to go through that way. And I needed to just chill.
Yeah.
I'm still hurting. So we just parked it there and rested. Had things taken care of. And
must have been really hot, huh? I think they had some like...
it's monsoon
like
season.
High temperature.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like 115 degrees or something.
Yeah, it was like 105 one day.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty intense and crazy. Yeah.
Well, next time you'll have to go to a cooler place, a richer place, and no dunes.
Yeah.
That's funny. So, well, that's cool. You know, so I'm glad you're back and everything's cool and stuff.
Yeah.
Did you go in the ocean at all? You said you did, right?
I did, yeah, because it was very healing. You know, like I don't know if you know that, but salt water like heals anything pretty much.
Oh, really?
Quicker. Yeah, so I got that in arnica gel, and it really helps, and I slap a lot of arnica gel on me because I'm still hurting. But it really helped a lot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's how, because it dries it out. Salt water is natural, and it helps dry it up and heal quicker. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I was younger and I had chicken pox, when I was like a kid, actually all of us had chicken pox at the same time, my parents took us to Florida because the salt water heals anything. It heals acne. It heals chicken pox. It heals, you know, it dries it up. The sun combined with the salt. So that's what I did. And I was like, okay, well, thank God this is here. I'm just going to stay in the water a lot.
Yeah.
So I did. I actually laid in it. Laid and let the water crush over because I was like, I'm not going to swim around.
Mm.
I'll lay here and let it do.
So now
thing.
This is not on the Pacific side, right? This is on the other side?
The Gulf,
right?
Yeah.
So it's like, what, near Cancun? That area?
No, that's too far.
Oh, it is.
I don't know where that even is.
Okay, Cancun is on the Gulf side too.
Yeah, but it's more, that's like, isn't Cancun below like Texas or something side?
Yeah, something
like
that.
Below there.
Yeah.
Like, but way down.
Right.
This is like right by Arizona.
Yeah, this is not as far south.
No.
Yeah.
It's on the Gulf. Like, I guess because Mexico, like, you know, the country moves like it. Like, the United States is shaped weird. So, it's below, literally 3 hours below Scottsdale.
Mm.
So, it's right, you know, it's only an hour from the border. From the American border.
Yeah.
Coming from Arizona side.
Yeah. So. Did you have all these kids chasing you, trying to sell you chiclets and shit like that?
The kids don't chase you, believe it or not. It's actual adults.
Adults?
On the beach, which was very annoying. Because when you're just on the beach, just wanting to chill. And after this, you know, when I went there, I'm like, leave me alone. Like, they come up to you and start, you'll be sleeping and they don't care. They want to sell
you.
And like, when you notice, it's like rubble and tattoos.
Yeah.
And I'm like, first of all, I have real tattoos. Are you retarded? Are you not looking? Like, why the hell would I want a rub on tattoo? If I'm going to get a tattoo, I'm getting a real tattoo. And the hell am I getting one here? Hell no. You know? Dirty. No way.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that was weird. I mean, they would come around and sell umbrellas and towels, which I understood.
Mm-hmm.
But it was annoying how they wake you up. Just sit there and stay in one spot. If I want it, I will come to you. Yeah. Don't bother me.
Yeah, but that's not like that. I mean, they're desperate, you know?
I know.
They need to put food on the table and they don't care. And, you know, I mean, and the hell with manners and everything.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and they sell jewelry on the beach, which is kind of interesting, too. I mean, I did buy a pair of earrings.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like $4.
Wow.
For a nice silver pair. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm down. Okay.
Well, but I'd much rather be at the Olympics right now, but in London, it looks like a lot of fun, you know.
Did you watch opening night?
I watched opening ceremonies.
That's pretty cool.
Did you?
I watched, we were at dinner and I watched it on the TV that was there. And I will say what I found interesting was because I love English movies. Like, I love British movies. Right. Like, the old school, like. And I watched when they were opening and I'm like, and he didn't understand. I was like, look, that's Mary Poppins.
Uh-huh.
That's Madeline.
Right.
That's, like, it's literally took every movie that they're known for. But that's Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Right.
That's Narnia. That's, and he's like, what? I'm like, they took every movie that they're known for. And they put it all together in the opening ceremonies.
Yeah.
They had Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Peter Pan. I mean, they had a literally, like, I don't know if you noticed that.
No, that's the part I didn't notice. I started watching, like, 20 minutes after started. Yeah.
Because they're all the kids that were there that were going around and the beds were floating up. That's
I remember that.
But Bedknobs and Broomsticks did it. Mary Poppins. Like, they had Mary Poppins at the end with the umbrella she floated in. But Chitty Chitty Bang Bang had that. They had the bad guy who wanted to kill the kids in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, if you've
Never watched it.
But I was really into, like, British movies growing up, kids movies, because they were amazing, and Disney did a lot of them, you know?
Right.
And I watched a ton of them growing up, and they took all of those movies and made that huge choreographed, you know, set to opening ceremonies, and it was amazing.
Right.
They did a great job, and
it was really cool, you know? And then with the Queen, did you see that part with Daniel Craig as James Bond? And
See that part.
Oh, wow.
I guess.
Yeah, you had to watch this. I mean, they're showing him as James Bond walking into Buckingham Palace.
Oh, that's funny.
And he walks through the corridors, and he walks in, and the Queen is sitting there, right?
Yeah.
With her back to him. So he walks in, and you know, she doesn't notice him, so he goes, mm-hmm, Your Majesty, it's time to go.
Oh, that's funny.
So they're walking outside. She's got two dogs with her, right?
Yeah.
They're both walking. He's like, defending, protecting her, whatever. And they get into a helicopter. They take off on the helicopter. They get over the stadium, and they both dive off the plane.
The Queen?
Yeah. Now you have to understand, it's not really her.
Really the Queen.
Right.
Right.
But it was dressed like her.
Right. Right.
And they're both parachuting down into the stadium.
That's
it was
pretty
amazing.
Cool. That's awesome.
It was really funny that she agreed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's really cool.
So that was funny. And yeah, it's just on a grand scale, you know. It just amazes me every time I see those every 4 years, you know.
Yeah.
That people put so many things together. And you know what they did is they turned the audience into pixels. In other words, everybody had like a little tablet, like a little iPad or something.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in the audience. And what they were all like connected electronically, wirelessly. So it was like a what they call those big boards where they display everything. Like
I
forgot what they call those, but
I know what you're talking about though, but
yeah, like, you know, the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole stadium was like one big screen.
Wow.
And they would play like images on it and stuff like that. So
that's cool.
It was just like,
that's really cool.
It was really cool. You had to see that. It was just amazing.
You know, my uncle's there. He's one of the camera guys.
Really?
Yeah, he gets to go to every Olympics, and he works for he does a lot of sports
mm-hmm.
on the East Coast. So he's always the camera, well, one of the many camera guys that are there actually in watching the sports.
Right.
And filming it. So he gets he's there on his trip and having a good time with his new wife.
Yeah.
So how exciting for her though, he gets to bring her along. And
that's true. Yeah.
He's working the whole time, but I'm watching his photos of when they were setting up and stuff, and like things that we wouldn't normally see that are on his Facebook. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know there's so many people in London right now. It's amazing. I'm surprised the traffic's even moving there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
They said millions of people.
Yeah. And that's why it was so scary, too, because it's like, thank God, you know, it could be a scary thought if some terrorist wanted to come through. Because there was a whole conspiracy, if you remember, about like the London Olympics and something crazy happening and blah, blah, blah. Do you remember? I don't know.
No, I don't remember that.
Because, well,
when did that come up? A few months ago or something?
Yeah, people have been talking about it forever and predicting it. I was like, I'm not going to the Olympics then. I'm not going to be anywhere near that.
I enjoy watching it. You know, I mean, I'm not into watching sports or anything, but the Olympics is cool. You know, we're watching like diving and swimming and stuff, you know, so that's cool. You know, I like that.
I like watching the gymnastics. I think that's
gymnastics was cool.
That's pretty
Except
awesome.
The Americans didn't win last night.
No?
No.
Oh, it's Russian, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They're always great in that.
I know.
Yeah.
Whatever, they got the silver, I think, the Americans. But the Russians are good. The Chinese are good, usually. Mm-hmm. those
things.
Oh,
yeah, they're really good. They're tiny, and they're so flexible. It's like, wow.
I know. And what's amazing is all these, well, you know, the gymnastics is really young girls, like 14, 15, 16.
Yeah.
So they're very flat, you know. But when you look at the other athletes, they all have to be flat, I think, the women, you know.
They do.
Flat-chested. Because there's nothing you can do with boobs, I guess, to be able to compete.
They don't normally grow, believe it or not, when you're, because you are underdeveloped in a way. You're so muscular.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, what they say is that the women are so muscular that you're, what is it? Not the testosterone, but your estrogen. Or whatever, drops or whatever, so you have more estrogen in your body because you've got more muscles, so it kind of takes over and you don't really form boobs.
Really?
Because you're working so much that you have no body fat. Just like your period stop, by the way. If you get a period, you won't have it.
Really?
If you're a girl that is in the time when you're supposed to get your period, you will not have it if you're below a certain body fat.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, I don't know if you know this, but even bulimic women won't have a period because if you get below a certain body fat, your
body stops. Really?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. But totally off the subject, I do want to say I forgot about this, and you need to go see this. Mm. I did go and see the Batman movie. I wasn't sure about how I felt about that. I didn't want to go and see it because I was like, I just felt like I needed to pay like homage, you know, to like not see it after what happened, you know, and that.
Except I don't think that does anything if you do that, you know.
I know.
What's the big deal?
I just didn't.
But anyway, you didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah, but I went and saw it and it was okay. But I did go and see the movie Savages. And I will say to you, that is one of the best movies that I have ever seen in a long time.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
And isn't it very violent, too?
It is. But you know, it's based on truth of what really happens. And I know people who are involved sort of in things like that. So, yes. And it was Oliver Stone that directed it. And it was just incredible. There wasn't one dull moment. There wasn't one moment that I was like, I have to get up. This is my moment to go pee now. No. It was non-stop.
Really?
The story did not stop. It moved so quickly. It was so fast. And it's like, wow. And there were so many like under stories going around. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
So what's it about? I mean, just people killing each other? Or
no.
What?
It is about three Americans, a love story that's also involved in that. Two guys, one girl.
They are
involved in, you know, selling weed.
Yeah.
Pretty good weed.
That's what's her name, Blake Lively, right?
Blake Lively is in it.
She's
amazing.
Yeah.
So they wind up doing really well in California. Mm-hmm. It's about weed, selling weed here, and just basically what's going on here and selling to stores, and they get bigger and bigger. One guy is an ex-Marine, which is the only reason this could have worked.
Uh-huh.
And the other guy, or ex-SEAL, whatever he is, and the other guy is like, you know, he's a botanist, but he's like, you know, a hippie and whatever, and they all live together, and it's a really cool story, and Mexicans find out, and they want a deal. They want it brought over to Mexico. Now, the movie starts with beheadings, 7 beheadings, just like what happened recently.
Uh-huh.
So it's you relate. Like, you're like, oh, shit.
Wow.
These people are freaking serious.
Yeah.
So they want to do a deal. They're not sure about the deal. They're like, no. They are like, you need to reconsider your 24 hours. And they're like, shit, should we run? What should we do? Because they went, it's like this whole story of like, of that.
Right.
And of the weed, just selling weed. That's it.
Really?
Of the weed world, of what really happens.
Yeah.
And of the cartel trying to take over, like they are. And like what's going on, and Americans working, paying off cops here to help FBI actually to help work, and it's just a crazy story. And the girl winds up getting kidnapped, and literally like it's like the Mexicans are like savages with it.
Yeah.
But then the Americans have to retaliate because like what do you do? Let them do it, or do you go above that and you become a savage as well? So it's this whole like. It's a moral thing, thing underneath, and you're like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's so good. It is so good. You would like it.
Yeah.
You would like it because the story is like, wow. Like, you walk out like, what the? You're affected by it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's really what goes on. Not everything, but it can be, it's definitely based off something that happened.
Yeah.
So, and it relates because of what's going on now with the drug cartels.
Yeah.
Even though that's mostly cocaine, but it makes you think about the weed industry.
Right, that's true. And that's what I don't understand is why people even get involved in this shit. You know, I mean, yes, there's a lot of money in it, but you never win. I don't think you ever come out of it, you know, unscathed.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, You know, I mean, there's too many people involved that don't have any morals, no values or anything, you know.
And I think they wanted to get out. They did. They tried to get out, and the cartel wouldn't let them.
Yeah.
So that's where this went into moral thing of like, whoa, they can't even get out.
Yeah.
So that's go watch it. There's a book. It's a best-selling author. Forget the guy's name, but the books are all over the place. And we just went and saw the movie, and it was just phenomenal. So definitely, definitely go see it. Oliver Stone did a great job. All the Benicio del Toro's in it. It's a big cast, actually.
Yeah, that's
Selma Hayek.
Oh yeah, she's in it too, isn't she? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Neil Hirsch. Yeah, it's a good. It's really good. You'll like it.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the I don't know how much money that made, but The Dark Knight made another $64 million for a total of about, let's see, $289 million after 10 days.
Wow.
After 10 days, man. And, yeah, I mean, the whole Colorado story is you know, very sad, hard to comprehend. And... you know, but I think they've had too much coverage over it, you know, especially the first couple days.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, give me the facts. I understand what happened and enough, you know. But they start interviewing everybody, you know.
Yeah. It's
and
like,
it's
come
like
on.
All over the news and all on every channel and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think they, you know, they overdo it and then they give the guy too much attention and all that. You know? And but, you know, I mean, you can still have memorials and, you know, honor the families and the victims and everything. Excuse me. But you don't have to keep going on and on and on about it, you know. But, you know, it's like, you know, it occurred to me how, you know, scary it is. He went to the, like, the most... This is like going and shooting up at McDonald's or something, you know. This is where families go.
That's exactly what... That just gets me. It's like... Yeah. It's not like you're at a bar, you know, putting drinks in your body and intoxicating your, you know what I mean? Like, whatever.
And get into a fight or whatever.
Or, you know, going somewhere where you think this will happen and inviting, but you're doing a chill night.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm sick and I don't feel good, you know, if I'm hurt or injured or whatever, or if I'm just a family going out, or if I just want to go to a movie,
mm-hmm.
you know, think of all those people, or if you're pregnant and you can't go out, the only thing you can do is go watch a movie.
Yeah.
You get your family together, get your friends together, and you go and you watch a movie.
Exactly.
And that's not even safe. Like, the thing that would be a safe place or safe thing to do, it's not even safe.
It's not safe. It's not just safe anywhere, you know, and that's what's scary, you know, because...
So fucked up.
Yeah. Because whether it's terrorists from outside or inside, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, they put fear in us, and you know, and then we're afraid to do things, and they interfere with our way of life. And but I heard that this guy was just facing charges, 146 counts, 146 counts of, you know, jeez. I mean, including all the murder and the.
What does his family say? I mean, that's what I'm curious.
Yeah, they don't say much. They just said they wanted to be left alone, you know. And they said, at first they said they feel bad. They sympathize with the victims and the families and everything, you know. But they sort of wanted to distance themselves from their son, I think, you know. I mean, obviously, you know, you have parents and they'd probably support you in some way. But, you know, for the most part, I can't see any, even parents... you know, being able to accept something like that her son does.
Right.
You know, it's way too much. But, you know, but that's the thing is that, you know, it's like this place is like where you have to worry about this all the time, you know, and it's just, it's scary, you know, so, I know he's, you know, this dude is totally friggin', you know. But, you know, and that brings us to gun control and stuff. And I wanted to just bring up the fact that, you know, I mean, this guy used assault rifles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, gun control or not, I don't see how anybody needs a semi-automatic rifle.
I don't understand that either. Doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, I can understand, you know, people want to have firearms for hunting and things like that, or protection, you know, a pistol or something.
Yeah.
But automatic weapons, why would they be legal here? I mean, you know, this is like military shit.
Yeah, I don't understand why that would be legal at all. That doesn't make... But see, the thing is it even legal? Because it seems like, wouldn't that be... You would buy that on the black market, right?
No, he bought them all legally. Yeah, All the rounds of ammunition and shit, you know, like 6,000 rounds or something that he was talking about.
And I feel like exactly. I don't have a problem with anyone owning a gun. I feel like that's totally fine. You have the right to do so. Absolutely. And protect yourself. A semi-automatic weapon? Absolutely not. I mean, I'm talking 9mm.
Yeah.
To a ladysmith, you know, like along like the normal things that you would get.
Yeah.
Totally. But anything else? Like a rifle to go hunting with, okay. You know, like a hunting, like those hunting things.
Exactly.
Fine.
Yeah.
But what do you need a semi-automatic weapon for?
Yeah.
What do you need that for? You know, that doesn't
make
any sense.
Other than kill a lot of people.
Because you don't go hunting with a semi-automatic weapon. You don't. You'll blow up the whole animal, the shit, and you won't be able to eat the meat. That doesn't make sense.
Yes.
I don't understand that. I get really upset.
I know. I know. Well, you know, that's... what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So I think our guest is here. He's going to come in a couple minutes, and we'll find out what he's up to.
Okay.
And hold on. They're asking me if you should come in, so I'm telling them to have him come in.
Oh, got it.
yeah. And his name is Logan Clark. He actually works with Alan Cardoza. Hi, guys. Come on in.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. How's it going, Logan? Have a seat over there. Good. Long time no see. Have a seat. Logan Clark, of course, joining us. We just were introducing you, Logan.
Yes.
Hello.
Go ahead, put your headphones on. And so you're going to be on the show in a few minutes with Alan Cardoza. So if you guys want to listen to him. But you have something that you're working on right now. And so get a little close to the mic while you're talking. And there you go.
There we go.
So now tell us a little bit about what you do. Before we get into what you're promoting right now.
Well, I'm an international detective.
Uh-huh.
I do rescues all over the world, hostage negotiations, kidnappings, homicides.
Wow.
A little bit of everything.
So he's more than just the bounty hunters we have.
This is great. I was in the Explorer program way back in the day, and I was in training for hostage negotiation. And like, I mean, I was young.
Really?
Yeah. So it was like, I look up to you. That's awesome.
You should.
Yeah.
So we go into very bizarre countries and do all kinds of really crazy things. Rescue people in Africa and Yemen.
Wow. And who hires you? The families or?
Law firms, the families do, organizations do. We deal in human trafficking, fighting human trafficking a lot. And there's different NGOs, non-government organizations that will bring us in, charity organizations. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes families that where they believe their daughter has actually been taken.
Right.
You know, into human trafficking. It's
now,
sad.
How big is, I mean, because I've hear so much about human trafficking, and I have a lot of friends that have are involved in charities. How, I mean, I don't think people realize how big it actually is. Do you want to,
It is the second fastest growing business in the world.
Wow.
Drugs is the number one, and it's going to surpass drugs because you can sell a pound of cocaine once.
Mm-hmm.
You can sell a woman 100 times.
Wow.
And it's a $38 billion dollar a year business right now.
Now, what countries is it like? Is it like
it's right here.
Okay.
Right here. There's 100,000 women
taken from the U.S. and brought.
In human trafficking in the United States right now. 100,000.
Wow. And they're all Americans. I mean, we're not talking about
There's Americans. They're different nationalities, but this is a lot of Americans.
But this is an American here.
Yeah, there's a lot of Americans, hometown girls that are kidnapped off the streets, tricked into this. One girl literally was invited to a party in a new school by some seniors, and she was a freshman sophomore. Mm. She was invited to a party, never came home from the party.
Wow. Wow.
This is a young kid. I mean, it happens.
It's very scary stuff.
And the kids that are brought from other countries into here, they think they're going to be... A lot of people think, well, they're prostitutes. They're coming over here to be... They're not. They come over here and they think they're going to be a waitress in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're going to be a secretary.
Yeah, like a nanny or something.
Yeah, a nanny. They're told all these things. Their passports are taken away from them. They're beaten. They're raped 20, 30 times a day.
Wow.
You know, repeatedly until they submit. You do that for a week and they'll do anything you want.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very scary.
So where do they like, I mean, I don't know much about this. So realizing it's here in the U.S., I get like other countries that have done that.
Right.
And so here in the U.S., like, where are these women kept? Like, why? What kind of people come in? Like, is it, like, crazy guys? Like, they come in and, like, you know, like, let's say, not to be weird, but, like, let's say I have these girls in the basement or whatever of my place. And how do I go out and pimp these girls out, per se? Like, what kind of people are coming in?
There's a whole market out there. I mean, there's guys that'll bring them all to you. They'll bring them to the house. And they're in Sherman Oaks. I mean, they're in, you know, they're in really nice areas, nice homes. They're not just always in rundown. I mean, there's some nice 4- and 5-bedroom homes that these girls are in. One of the cases that we did here in Los Angeles, we were on a stakeout. We were watching something, and we noticed that there were 7 bridal shops on one street.
Wow.
You know, one, and they do that sometimes.
I've noticed
And there were 7 bridal shops lined up in a row. And all the time we're sitting there doing surveillance, we weren't watching that.
Yeah.
We're watching something else. But all the time we're sitting there is nothing but men.
Really?
Went into this bridal shop for bridal gowns. Nothing but men. And they'd go in. They'd be in there for about a half an hour, you know, 20, 30 minutes. And then they'd come back out again. No women went in. Women came in and out that worked there. And they were foreigners, you know, and they didn't speak too much English. Yeah, it was, hello.
Wow.
It's all over the place.
Yeah. I've heard about the massage parlors that do that. I mean,
that's pretty standard.
I've gone in and I'm like, and I didn't even, I recently learned about this. So I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I'm always like.
Yeah, Logan's full of stories, but I don't want to cut it short, but I want to get to what you're here for.
Oh, sorry.
Don't be sorry. It's fine. So you're working on something right now. You have a project.
Yeah, I've been trying to retire or semi-retire for quite a while. And I write. I have one book, 2 books on Amazon. I have Just Passing Through. And Last Night an Angel Stopped By. Just Passing Through was the bestseller in Southeast Asia.
Nice.
5 years. It was in colleges. And then Last Night an Angel Stopped By, which is a true story that happened in an intensive care recovery room where a woman died next to me, in the bed next to me. Wow. What happened when she died was unreal.
Right.
And I wrote this new project dealing as a detective with so much grief. I've seen more grief than probably most 10 people that I know in my life.
Yeah.
More horror and stress and sadness and tragedy. And I've written a novel with a friend of mine called Tiribar and the Legend of the Teardrop Tree.
Mm.
And I invented this country called Tiribar, where the teardrop tree comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And the teardrop tree is it's this wonderful, wonderful story. I got the animator from Narnia and Spider-Man 3 and Polar Express. Mm-hmm. He's phenomenal. Roger Vizard. And he did incredible. He created this country and the characters for me. And the teardrop tree is basically, it's a combination between a weeping willow and a banyan tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it has teardrops coming down the leaves of the willow. And on the base of the tree, it says, "Let your sorrow fall on me.
Aww.
I'll cry for you. I'm a teardrop tree." And the purpose of the teardrop tree is to help carry the burden of sorrow of mankind.
Wow. Mm.
And the book, which is this wonderful story about this old man and his granddaughter who are going through terrible things, and they're trying to find life together, and they wind up going in search of this teardrop tree, and it's just phenomenal. The all about what pain and anger and sadness do to you. They close up your mind, and they stop you from dreaming, and they stop you from going forward.
Yeah.
And you know, you need to move. You need to move on, and you can't just be consumed by all of that sadness.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have horrible things. I mean, look at Colorado.
Right.
You know,
right.
It happens, but you have to go past it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like to say closure. You know, but you need to. It's okay to cry. It's okay. It's part of life. It's grief. But you can't be consumed in it. So
you
the
have to
tree.
Let go.
Yeah, the tree's like, it's okay. I'll carry the sadness for you.
Wow.
You cried. You had your sadness. Now go on. Go on and open your eyes and find life and go after your dream. And I will continue. I'll be here and I'll continue to carry that sorrow for you.
Wow.
And it's on Kickstarter. Kickstarter.com is a site, an investment site.
That's what they call like crowdfunding,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, crowdfunding, exactly. And
right.
And people call
it,
they can get a copy for $35, they can get a copy of the book, they can get art for, you know, for $25, they can get actual copies of the art for framing, everything. But we've got to get people to go on to raise a certain amount of money to actually make the trees. We've got the molds and everything, but you got to order a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You have to order like 5,000 trees.
Yeah.
So that can be like 40 or 50 grand.
I see.
Order.
So you're going to market those trees?
Yeah, we're actually get the trees so that you can call a florist shop. Instead of buying a dozen roses when someone passes away or when your daughter's dog passes away.
Right.
One of the most devastating things to a child is when their animal, their pet, passes away. That's usually the first brush they have.
Right.
With death.
With death, right.
Is their animal.
Right.
And you can give them the teardrop tree in the book. And even in the book, the little girl loses her dog.
Right.
And it's part of the tragedy that she goes through. And it's something that kids can understand and relate to. And
what a cool idea.
It's neat. Yeah. Really, you know, great. You can actually call. Have you, we have an ad that says, have you had a moment lately that needed a teardrop tree? Call FTD. You know, and send a dozen roses. Yeah. They die in a week.
Right.
Send them a teardrop tree.
Sounds good.
Tree never dies.
Sounds great.
That's true.
Awesome.
Kickstarter.com.
Yeah. And give the name of the book again.
When you go to Kickstarter, do you have an actual link that they can find
it's
it?
It's teardrop. Yeah, I don't know the
yeah,
actual.
Just do a search,
okay. Yeah,
right?
You just go on to Kickstarter, and it's the teardrop tree.
Teardrop tree.
And it'll be a newly started ones. I think it's been up for a week or 10 days or something like that.
Awesome.
And the other two books are just passing through on Amazon, and last night an angel stopped by.
Yeah.
I'd love to have him on another time.
Yeah,
like,
we will.
Longer.
And you know that Logan is one of the producers for Bounty Wars. You know,
oh,
remember Art was here the other day.
Good old Asylum. I had a show on with Asylum.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
So thank you so much, Logan.
Thank you.
You can hear more of him coming up next with Alan Cardoza on Answers for the Family. And that's it. Thanks a lot. Brigetta, thank you. And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an LA Talk Radio production where we say what we want.